Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our learning at Share. We are moving into the winter ahead. The Chagim, the Yamim Tovim, are over. It is Shabbos Mevorachim Cheshvan this coming Shabbos. So let us have some Torah to warm us in this fall night. We are learning the Lulei Nishmasa and the Zecher Nishmasa Miriam Fron, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzhak, Allah HaHashal, and Hashem should have a continuous aliyah and the merit of the Torah learning that we share in this Shir. So we didn't learn last week. Last week was Chol HaMoed. We did learn the week before. We were in the middle of the Nefesh HaChayim of Chaim of Elazhener, and I remember that I did not get through what I wanted to finish. I made a note for myself, actually. I shouldn't say I remember. I do remember, but I also made a note for myself. The reason we were in the Nefesh HaChayim is because our author quotes Rav Chaim of Elazhener from the Nefesh HaChayim, so therefore we went to the source. So I'm going to begin tonight's shiur by ending the quote of what we did not get to finish last time. Let's just go into the Sefer, please. Okay, we are on page 226 of the second Sefer, if you have the Sefer. And we are still talking about love, Ahavas Hashem specifically. I'm going to read the paragraph, the last paragraph in the Sefer, and then move into the Nefesh HaChayim, and then we will move on. Conditional love, it is based on expression of love of one person receiving from another, will eventually die away, because if the love is just based on get and take and what I can get from you and what you can get from me, if we can stop physically giving things to each other or benefiting each other, then there's no more love. No, but unconditional love is rooted in the reality of Ketusha Brichu, Oraisa Yisrael Chadhu, that Hashem and Torah are Israel, are one. We spent a number of classes speaking about this. The Vav in the middle of the Torah, that was a few classes ago. This unity is due to the inherent bond of the Jewish soul with the Creator and His Torah. As Rav Chaim of Elazhen wrote, this threefold bond, Yisrael, Torah, Hashem, is so fundamental that without it, the world could not even exist. So he is quoting from the Nefesh HaChayim and Perek Dalet. So I am going to just quote. It's actually Perek Dalet, Perek Yud Aleph, actually. Gay for Sha'ar Dalet, Perek Yud Aleph, which I will just quote from inside, and then we will move on. So Rav Chaim of Elazhener, who is known as the father of the modern-day yeshiva system as we have it today, 1800s, Rav Chaim of Elazhener writes, therefore, all the worlds continue to exist and function properly only if we are engaged in the study of Torah. So if we're not engaged in the study of Torah, the world will cease to exist. That's the first Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Oshosh Advarim HaOlam HaMei, Ala Torah, Val HaVod, Val Gmilas Chasadim. The Holy One, blessed be He, Torah and Yisrael are one, which we've been spending something speaking about. The root of each Jewish soul is linked to one letter in the Torah. And therefore it says, God thought of bringing Israel into being before all else. This does not contradict the saying that the Torah preceded everything, because Torah and Yisrael stem from the same heavenly root. And it's so interesting when I was re-reviewing and re-going over the sources for Shir tonight, it's so funny how Hashem arranges things, because what's the next sentence of Rav Chaim of Elazhen? The sages comment on the word Bereishis. God created the world for the sake of Torah. So why am I excited? Because this week's parsha is Parshas Bereishis. God created the world for the sake of Torah, which is called Reishis. So Bereishis means for Reishis, for Torah, the whole world was created. Furthermore, for the sake of Israel, that are called Reishis, the whole world was created. And therefore the Gemara in Moed Katan says, if one is present at the time that a soul departs, he is required to tear his clothing. A dying person is compared to a Torah scroll. And if one witnesses the burning of a Torah scroll, God forbid, you must tear your clothing. So a dying person and a Torah scroll all compare it to each other, because the root of both is the Ribono Shel Olam. The holiness of every Jewish soul is identical to the holiness of a Torah scroll. One more paragraph still that I'm going to quote from in Perek Yud Aleph of the Sha'ar Dalet. At creation, the Torah was still hidden away. Its light radiated in higher worlds. It had not yet reached the lower world to allow ourselves to engross in Torah. As a result, the world was precarious and unstable. The Gemara Maseches Avodah Zarah says, during the first 2,000 years, the world was devoid of Torah. The world is divided into, existence is divided into three sections of 2,000, which makes 6,000. And the first 2,000 years, the world was devoid of Torah. The fate of the world was in the balance, because until the giving of the Torah, Hashem stipulated with the works of creation, saying, if B'nai Yisrael accept the Torah, you will continue to exist. If not, the world will return to Tohu Vavohu. And actually, Rashi quotes this, which I'm going to take you to. Well, she quotes this to Perek Aleph of Bereishis. Pasuk, one second, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Lamed Aleph. The Pasuk says, could you see my screen? You can't see my screen. I know why. This happens with the Shari camp. Let's try again. Can you see? Baruch Hashem. Okay. Whew. The last pasuk in Perek Aleph is Vayara Elokim Eskol Asher Asa. Elokim saw all that he had made. Vihine Tov Me'od. Behold, it was very good. Vayihi Erev. It was evening. Vayihi Voker. It was morning. Yom Hashishi. So Chazal are questioning, why is there a Hey Hayidia, the knowing or identifying Hey, before the word Shishi? For example, if you look on the fifth day, Yom Chamishi. Fifth day. If you look on the fourth day, Yom Rivi'i, fourth day. When you come to Yom Shishi, it doesn't say Yom Shishi, which would fit the pattern, Rivi'i Chamishi Shishi. It says Yom HaShishi. There's a Hey HaYedia. Why is there a Hey HaYedia, the knowing or identifying Hey, by the sixth day? So it's coming to teach you something particular. So Rashi says, you could see Rashi here, correct? You could see Rashi here? Okay. Yom HaShishi. Hosiv Hey Bashishi. Bigmar Masa Bereishis. The Torah added a Hey, a knowing Hey, on the sixth day at the end of the work of creation. Lomar, to teach you. Shehisna Imahem. God made a condition, a Tnai, with the world, with Maisa Bereishis. This is exactly what Rav Chaim of Voloshin just quoted. Al Menah Sheyikablu Alei Mishra Chamisha Chum Shei Torah. Hey in Gematria is five. Yom HaShishi indicates something about the power of Hey, which is five. Hashem made a condition with the entire Maisa Bereishis. You will only continue to exist if Bnei Yisrael accept upon themselves Ha, the Hey, Chamisha Chum Sheitor. And that's what Rav Chaim of Voloshiner quotes in this Sha'ar Dalet, Perek Yud Aleph of the Nefesh HaChayim. The Holy One stipulated with the works of creation, if Israel accepts the Torah, you creation will continue to exist. If not, I will turn you back to primordial emptiness and void. If Bnei Yisrael do not accept the Torah, the world will go back to Tohu Vavohu, like you see here in Rashi to Perek Aleph, Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Rashi gives another answer. It also has to do with Torah. Excuse me, Davar Acher, Yom HaShishi, another reason for the Hey HaYedia, the knowing Hey. This one doesn't have to do with Gematria, where Hey is five. Rather, HaShishi means the sixth, as in the sixth day. Kulam Tuluim Ve'ondim Ad Yom HaShishi. Creation was dependent and standing and contingent upon the sixth day. What sixth day? Vav B'Sivan, Hamuchan L'matan Torah. So whether you interpret the Hey as being five, or HaShishi, meaning the sixth day, Vav Sivan. Both ways you see that Hashem stipulated with Maisa Bereishis, the works of creation, you will only exist if Bnei Yisrael accept Torah upon themselves. So, everything that God made was very good, but it was only very good if Israel would accept Torah upon themselves. Ever since, continuing with Rav Chaim of Voloshiner, the Torah was lowered to this world. The continued existence of all the worlds is secured by our speaking and thinking Torah thoughts. And today, or we once again see many yeshivas closed, and Batei Knisios closed, and Batei Midrashos closed. It's very painful. It's a very scary gezeira. It's a terrible matzav, because Torah is what holds up the world. We just read Kohelas. Everything else, Tachas HaShemesh, is Havel Havalim. Everything that man strives for in terms of Gashmias, it has no meaning. We don't take it with us to the Kever. It won't stand for us in the Olam HaEmes unless we use it for Torah mitzvos. And upon Torah, the whole world is contingent. Unquestionably, therefore, concludes Rav Chaim of Voloshiner just in this paragraph that I'm reading to you, if there would be one moment when not one person is engrossed in Torah study somewhere in the entire world, all the upper and lower worlds would instantly cease to exist, God forbid. That's a quote. So we should not undermine the power of Torah learning and the degree of pain that we must feel when yeshivos are, rachman al islam, closed. And it's a gzeira. We have to do our best to counteract this by showing the Ribbono Shel Olam that we want to be more involved in Torah, more involved in mitzvahs, more involved in words of Lashon HaKodesh and Kedusha, because without this, the world would cease to exist. There's a couple of comments. One second. What does it say by the seventh day? So, one second. Could you see my screen? Bayom Hashvi'i. So it's, let me see something. It doesn't say that by Rashi, but I think Shabbos is unique and Shabbos is special. So when it says Vayachalokim Bayom Hashvi'i Melach Torah Asa, the Torah, it's a, I understand your question. It's a nice point, a nice nekuda. There's also the Hey Hey idea by the Yom Hashvi'i. But Shabbos, I'm not looking at the Mefarshim. I didn't anticipate the question, so I didn't look it up in advance. But certainly Shabbos is unique and in its own realm, and I could understand why the Torah would identify Shabbos with a Hey Hayadiyah Yom Hashvi'i to indicate that it is special and unique, even though, again, I did not look up the Mefarshim, so that's just off the top of my head, but very nice point. Okay. Let's go back to the Sefer, page 226, right at the bottom. Okay, well, we finished up with Chaim of Elazar. Until a person has sensed the oneness of his neshama with the Creator and Torah, so you need to sense that your neshama is Torah, is the Creator, and it's all one, and it's the only thing that matters in this world. And I think more and more with the COVID pandemic, open, close, lockdown, first wave, second wave, all over the world, literally, it's unbelievable. And with the political situation, I think more and more we are all coming to realize that the only thing that counts is being connected to the Ribbono Shel Olam and feeling in your neshama that your neshama is part of Hashem. Vayivra Elokim Esa Adam Betzalmo, Betzalmo Elokim Bara Osam, Zachar Nekeva Bara Osam. Betzalmo, Betzalmo Elokim, Bereishis 1:27. Every man is created in the image of God, Bereishis 2:7, Vayipach Ba'apav Nishmas Chayim. My whole neshama is an emanation of God. If I don't feel connected to God, and if I don't feel connected to Torah, then how am I living? So I was actually not going to quote this, but it is very relevant. I have this sefer down here because I wanted to quote something else. But since I said what I just said, it reminded me of the following. I was reading this sefer over Yom Tov. It's very beautiful. By Dr. Norman Lamb, Festivals of Faith. I quoted it, and some of you remember my Hoshana Rav Bashir on Thursday evening. So he tells the following story. I remember a story. This was a drasha that Rabbi Lam gave in 1972. I remember a story with Oive. How do you pronounce this word? Apocryphal? Apocryphal? My friends are smiling. With me, not at me. Okay. I remember a story, parentheses, which is probably apocryphal, but nonetheless contains a great deal of truth. Does it mean like hyperbole? Probably not true. An exaggeration? That's what I understood based on the context. Okay. No, Esther's saying no. So what is it? You could post on the chat. Okay. So let me just continue. I remember a story, says Rabbi Dr. Lam, that was told shortly after the first session of the United Nations. According to this story, one delegation was housed in a hotel, and after they left at the end of the mission, listen carefully, reminds me of a different story that we've told before, the manager of the hotel discovered all the faucets where this delegation stayed were missing. Upon investigation, they discovered these were men of the desert, and they were fascinated by these contraptions called faucets, which when turned on magically allowed water to emerge in full force. If you have this book, Festivals of Faith, I'm making this up, it's page 142. Therefore, these desert men decided to take the faucets home with them to the desert so they could turn them on and they would allow water to flow freely in their desert. So it's humorous, but it has a point. Remember when we spoke about the washing machine? We spoke about it many times. You could have the best washing machine. If it's not plugged in, it's not going to wash your clothing. It's not going to turn on. So you could have the most beautiful, fanciest, I don't know, most elegant faucet. If you take it to the desert and it's not connected to piping, no water is going to come out. It's a fallacy. It's a farce. It's nothing. There's no water. So too us with Ribbono Shel Olam. We could live our whole lives going through the motions, but I have to feel some degree of connection to God. Otherwise, Rachman al-Tzan, there's something so elemental missing in my life. Doubted. Okay, very nice. Very good. Okay, the definition of. Very good. I'm going to share it with everybody. The definition of apocryphal, in case I'm saying it wrong, apocryphal, is a story of doubted authenticity but widely believed to be true. Perfect. Thank you very much. Okay, so a person has to feel that their neshama is intrinsically connected. You're hooked up. If you want to get water, it's a good metaphor. Ein mayim ela Torah. So, apocryphal. Okay, apocryphal. Thank you. Is that better? Apocryphal? Okay, Baruch Hashem. We learn a lot of things in this class. Okay, I'm not making fun. I think I say more words wrong in this class than in any of my other classes, and I spend a lot of time teaching during the Baruch Hashem, okay? Until a person has sensed the oneness of his neshama with the Creator and the Torah, the love is conditional. He may experience feelings or flashes of love, but they will be fleeting and they will be flashes, as opposed to the essence of love itself. Again, you could go back to the engaged couple. They certainly feel flashes, and they certainly feel what they think is love, but is that really love? Those, you know, those exciting moments, those feelings, those electric feelings you feel, okay, that's not really real love. There's some degree of infatuation, and of course, you have to have respect for the person, etc., but you can't say that that is true love. Essence love exists only when one feels inherently unified with the Creator. Just as a person naturally feels at one with himself, he must feel at one with his Creator. And this goes back all the way to my Sibrishis. So I already quoted the two Psukim, 127, Perek Alf, Pasuk of Zion, and 27, Perek Beis, Pasuk Zion, where you see that man is created in the image of God. And furthermore, my very neshama is an emanation of God's breath. So, amazing. The very next sentence, I'm on page 227. We read in the Torah. It's amazing how Hashem arranges the timing of the Shiurim, because the very next Pasuk is, Al kein ya'azov ish es aviv es imo v'davak b'ishto v'ayu l'basar achad. I'm not making it up. If you don't believe me, if you don't have the sefer, literally, it's from right at the end of Parak B. So I can't make this up. So here Hashem is guiding us. I mean, what parsha is it? Bereishis. If you haven't been able to tell yet, I'm very excited that it is Parshas Bereishis, and the Mechaber is quoting from Parshas Bereishis. So of course we are going to go into this pasuk. We read in the Torah, a man must therefore, I quoted the pasuk in Hebrew already, Lashon HaKodesh I should say, a man must therefore leave his parents and cleave to his wife. So I'm going to show you the pasuk. Please Hashem help me show you the pasuk on the screen. Could you tell me if you could see my screen? Yes or no? Yes? Okay, thank you. Okay. Adam called names to all the beasts of the field and the birds of the sky. And Adam did not find a helper opposite him. And God caused Adam to fall into a deep sleep, or I should say God put a deep sleep upon Adam, Vayishan, and he slept a slumber. Hashem put a deep slumber on Adam, and he slept. Vayikach achas mitzalosav, and he took one of his ribs or his side bones, and he closed the flesh over him. Rabbi Elimelech Biederman, as an aside, tells a beautiful vart on this. Why did Adam have to be asleep in order for Isha to be created? Rabbi Elimelech Biederman says, it teaches you that sometimes in marriage you need to be asleep. You don't need to see everything the other person does. You don't always be awake. You don't need to be the drill sergeant. You don't need to be watching everything. They're their own person. You're your own person. I'm not talking about major life issues, of course. Sometimes you need to be asleep. Vayivein Hashem Elokim. We already quoted 127 and 27. That's the creation of man. 222 is the creation of Isha. Vayivein Hashem Elokim esatzel asher lakach min ha'adam l'isha. Hashem Elokim built the side bone that he took from man into Isha, vayivi eha ala Adam. He brings her to Adam. It's so beautiful. Vayomer ha Adam. Remember, before this, Adam goes through all the beasts of the field, and he doesn't find a helper opposite him. There's no match for me. The lion has the lioness, and the male elephant has the female elephant, and I don't know, the male seahorse has the female seahorse, and I am all alone. And now Adam says, vayomer ha Adam. That's interesting. There's a hey idea by this also. Why doesn't it just say Vayomer Adam? There's only one man. You can't think that it's another man. He doesn't have a neighbor. There's only one guy who's been created. Interesting. Yes, it's so poetic. It's unbelievable. These psukim are beautiful. But did you hear what I just said? There's a hey idea here. The man said, what do you mean the man? There's only one man who could tell me Vayomer Adam. I'm not going to get him confused with his neighbor. There's no neighbor. That's interesting. Vayomer Adam. The man said, Zos hapam etza me'atzamai. Her atzma'ut is my atzma'ut. She is bone from my bone this time. Ubasar mibsari. She is flesh from my flesh. Lezos yikare isha. So she is called isha. Kimi ish lukacha zos. Because she is taken from man. And this is the Pasuk 224 that the author of our Sefer just quoted. Al kein, therefore, ya'azov ish es aviv es imo, a man should leave his father and his mother, v'davak b'ishto, he should cling to his wife, v'ahiyu lebasar echad, and they should be one flesh. Last Pasuk, and they were both naked, the Adam and his wife, and they were not embarrassed. So our author quotes this pasuk because he's going to speak about the relationship or love of husband and wife, and then vis-a-vis the relationship of us vis-a-vis the Ribbono Shel Olam. But over Yom Tov, just so happens to be that I read in Festivals of Faith, which is why I have the Sefer downstairs with me in the first place, an unbelievable essay on this very pasuk. Ya'azov ish es aviv es imo, a man should leave his father and his mother, v'davak b'ishto, he should cling to his wife, v'hayu lebasar echad, they will become one flesh. It sounds very beautiful, it sounds very poetic, but what is this idea of leaving the father and mother, of leaving the past? One second. Oh, so why is that a reason to leave your parents? Okay, very nice. They never had parents. That's exactly true. But this is really a comment for mankind and humanity in general. It's almost like a parenthetical narrative. Al kein, because Adam now has an Ezer Kenegdo, you should know that every man should leave his father and his mother, cling to his wife, and become one flesh. This is almost a parenthetical statement for all of mankind. Because remember, Adam and Isha were told, Pru Urvu Umilu Asar Zacharn, actually called told. Pru'ervu miluas arts v'kivshua. Redu bidgas hayamu ba'ofa shamayim. They have to be fruitful and multiply. They have to conquer the world. So this is not only talking to one man and one woman. It is, you see, even here, I'll tell you, it doesn't have the idea by ish. It just, and it doesn't say Adam. Look, to the person who asked this question. It doesn't say Al kein ya'azov ha'adam es aviv es imo. Then you have a valid shayla. Then you could say, how are you telling the man to leave his father and his wife? This man does not have a father and his wife. That's not what it says. Al kein ya'azov ish. This answers your question. This is talking to humanity. Man. Not ha'adam, but ish should leave his father and mother and cling to his wife. So I want to get to Rabbi Norman then. Okay, good. Baruch Hashem. Your question was answered. Okay, so Rabbi Lam has a very, very powerful piece on this sentence. I shouldn't say that. On this pasuk, which was just quoted in our Sefer. It is surprising, says Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam, 1963, that the first mention in the Torah of the parent-child relationship seems to be negative. Immediately after a woman was created, the Torah informs us, Al kein ya'azov ish et aviv et imo v'davak b'ishto v'ayu lebasar echad. A man should leave his father and mother, cling to his wife, they should become one flesh. Is it not disconcerting to learn that the Torah's first judgment on the parent-child relationship is not one that encourages unity and togetherness? On the contrary, it speaks of separation, divergence between the generations. I mean, think of it vis-a-vis you and your parents, whether they are in this world, or they are in the next world, in a normal functioning relationship. Is that our goal, to leave our parents just because a person finds his or her basher? It doesn't mean you should cut off all ties. Ya'azov isha aviv et imo. That's the first thing it says about father and mother. Leave them. By the way, after, which I don't think it's going to be tonight, but I'm going to quote a different answer by Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau, Shlita. Moreover, as we read the history of the Avos, which we meet Avram Avinu at the end of next week's Parsha, Parshas Noach, we learn that the injunction to leave parents is generally not obeyed. When Avram sends his servant, Parshas Chayei Sarah, Perachov Dala, to look for a wife for Yitzchak, he makes him swear, Rak es b'ni al teshev shama, don't take my son away from his ancestral heritage. Do not take Yitzchak away from his home. Do not take him away from me and from his mother's tent. And later, when Yitzchak meets his intended bride, Rivka, right at the end of Perachov Dalid, Vayivieha Yitzchak ha'ohala Sarah imo. Where does Rivka go? to the tent of Sarah. We know the famous Rashi, Bereishis 24:67. When Rivka came back, the three brachos on Sarah's tent came back. The bracha mitzui be'isa, the dough rose exponentially. It was always fresh. Ner daluk, mer of Shabbos, ler of Shabbos, and ner was always lit. And there was anan, kasher al ha'ohel, the divine cloud rested over the tent. So not only did Yitzchak not leave, he brings his wife back to the tent of his mother. There's a spirit of union here between father and son, between son and wife and the memory of the deceased mother. A generation later, what is Yaakov Avinu's prayer at the end of Parak Chof Ches after his dream? Vishafti b'shalom el beis avi. Im Hashem no seili lechem lechol ubeged lo bosh vishafti b'shalom el beis avi. Then God is my God. If you return me to my father's house before Yosef dies, he pleads with his brothers and reminds them, when you get out of here, take me with you. Don't leave me. I want to go back to my ancestral heritage. How then do we account for the constant tendency of the patriarchs to return to their parents? Over and over in Parshas Sefer Bereishis, when the Torah tells us, first statement on parent-child relationship seems to be negative, cut off all ties, leave your father and your mother. That's positive. You could cling to your spouse and still have. In fact, I'm going to add, we're commanded. So I don't understand. What should it be? So he offers a suggestion, no, an answer from Moshe Avigdor Amiel, a chief rabbi. I assume that's all. Never assume, but I'm assuming. Moshe Avigdor Amiel, chief rabbi of Tel Aviv. There are two different words that the Torah uses for human beings. The first one is basar, beis, sin, reish, flesh, meat, flesh. Literally flesh. Basar is a term used for mankind from the beginning of time until Avram. Again, listen. Al kein ya'azov ish et aviv et imo v'davak bishto v'hayu le basar echad. They should become one flesh. When the Torah refers to the limitations of the first race of sinners, which is, by the way, also in our parsha, the pasuk says right at the end of our parsha, Parak Vav, pasuk Gimel, Vayomer Hashem. Could you see my screen? Thank you. Lo yadon ruchi ba'adam le'olam. God says, my spirit will not contend with man forever. Right at the end of Parshas Bereishis, man has become sinful, and God regrets that he made man. He's going to destroy everything, which is the segue into Parshas Noach. Bishagam hu basar. Because man is flesh. He's not going to live 930 years anymore like Adam. He's not going to live 500 years like Noah when he begat children. Man is basar. When the Lord decides to destroy the generation of the flood, he says, Parashas Noach. Vayomer Elohim leNoach. Elohim says to Noach, Kate's call basar, balofanai, the end of all flesh has come before me. Because the world is full of chamas, petty robbery. Furthermore, Hashem says, Perek Vav Pasuk Yud Zayin, Ve'ani hinini mevi es hamabul ma'im al arts. As for me, I am going to bring the flood waters upon the earth. L'shaches kol basar, to destroy every flesh, that is the spirit of life from under the heavens. The Torah is very, for those of you who learn with me, well, I guess you all learn with me or you wouldn't be on this call. I try and point out on the Zoom, consistently to remind us all that not one thing in the Torah is a mistake. Nothing. So identifying human beings as basar, pre-Avram Avinu, tells us something. However, from the time of Avram Avinu and on, says Rabbi Dr. Lam, there's a sudden change in terminology to identify a human being. Man is no longer referred to as basar, which literally means flesh or like meat. So it's a very coarse or crude physical term, if you will. We have seen repeated examples of where man is referred to as basar, but suddenly there is a change. And what now is man referred to as? Parshas Lech Lecha, the beginning of Lech Lecha. Parak Yud Beis Pasuk Hey. Vayikach Avram es Sarai Ishto Veslo Ben Achiv. Avram took, this is when they are journeying to the land of Canaan. Avram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his nephew, and all of their possessions that they possessed. Ve'es ha-nefesh. That's very different. It could say ve'es ha-basar. as hanefesh, the souls. How is man referred to now? As a soul. Furthermore, also in Parshas Lech Lecha, Perek Yud Dalid, this is by the war of the four kings and the five kings. Vayishma Avram, 1421. Vayomer Melch Stom El Avram, the king of Stom said to Avram, Tein li hanefesh, varechush kachal, give me the souls of those you captured in war, of those you saved in war, I should say, and the possessions take for yourself. One more example from Parshas Lech Lecha, 1714. Oh, this is interesting. Look at this. Rabbi Dr. M doesn't point it out. But if you look up the pasuk, you'll see something interesting. Va'arel Zachar Asher Lo Yimo. Look at this. An Arel who is not circumcised is referred to as Basar. That soul will be cut off. So this is interesting. In this pasuk, you actually see both usages, but when you refer to someone who does not have a bris milah, they are basar. Once again, basar, meat, flesh, very physical term. The person who violates the laws of circumcision will be cut off from his people. Going back to, so we've seen a number of examples here. And here, in this distinction, says Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb, between man is basar and man is nefesh. And again, nefesh reminds you of a soul. Soul reminds you, before I even go further, soul reminds you of spirituality. Soul reminds you of neshama. Basar reminds you of a piece of steak on your counter. You know the stickers that say basar and chalav, so that you or the, for those who have house help, doesn't get them mixed up. Well, you wouldn't say house help for the basar b'chalav. You would say meat and milk. Okay, so the steak is basar, flesh is basar, physicality is basar. Nefesh reminds you of something much more elevated. Says Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb, here in this distinction between man is basar, flesh, and man is nefesh, soul, we come to an understanding of the change in the Torah's wording. For its decision, al kein ya'azov. Remember what we're talking about? The end of Perek Beis, Ya'azov Ish et Aviv et Imo v'davak b'ishto v'ayu l'basarchan. Why are we quoting this pasuk, by the way? Because in our Sefer, the last thing that the author just quoted was this pasuk. In its decision that Al Kein Ya'azov, therefore a person shall leave his father and mother, indicating that parents of children have no relationship with each other after a marriage, it's based on the conception of man as being basar, flesh. It is predicated on man's accepting a philosophy of materialism. Vayula basar achad. If you see yourself as basar, then there is no connection to the past. If humanity conceives of itself in purely materialistic terms, if I'm no different than the piece of meat in the frying pan, I'm not joking, as mere physical specimens, as machines enclosed in flesh, then indeed, parents and children remain distant and remote from each other because their relationship is merely biological. We're here only for the propagation of the physical species of flesh. And after, think of the animal kingdom. I know there are some exceptions, but in general, when animals conceive, generally first of all the male leaves, and after the woman births, there's a certain amount of time, in some species longer, in some species shorter, that the baby stays with the parent, and after the mother leaves, and the baby is on their own. And that really is, Ya'azov et aviv et imo. Why? Because you're basar. The relationship is merely biological. If man identifies himself as an advanced animal, unlike an animal, which leaves the nest or the den as soon as it is weaned, man leaves his parents and their ways as soon as he is no longer dependent upon them. It's merely a physical, biological relationship. Vayula basar achad. If you view the future as forming basar with the next generation, with your spouse, to transfer the ideals of basar, then there's really no connection to the past. As long as a man never transcends the level of basar, then the past generation and the young generation go their different ways. Therefore, v'davak b'ishto vayula basar achad. But if they conceive of each other as spiritual beings, as well as humans who possess a soul, a nefesh, And parents and children always remain linked together, even if your parents are in the next world. There is constantly a connection because it's the connection of the soul, not the connection of the body. So even ultimately, when the connection of the body is severed through the death of the parent, Admeva Asum Shana, the connection remains because the connection of the soul always remains. Al Kein Yazov Ish Et Aviv Et Imo. Children shall leave their parents and depart. We're valid until the days of Avram Avinu, the founder and father of the Umma Yisraeli. But after Avram, when Avram's teaching brought a new realization to this world, and mankind realized, you know, we're not only basar. What did Avram Avinu bring to the world? Godliness. In fact, the pasuk we quoted before, Bereishis 12:5. Ves kol rechusham vayikach Avram asar ishto ves lo ben achiv ves kol rechusham asher rechashu ves hanefesh asar asu b'char and vayechu lelechas arta kanan vayetzu. So what does Rashi say? Ves hanefesh asar asu b'char. And Rashi says, it ties in so beautifully to this pshat. What does Rashi say? Asher hichnusum tachas kanfei hashchina. The souls that they brought under the wings of the divine presence. Avram would be Megayer the Anashim, the men, and Sar would be Megayeris the Nashim, and Sar brought the woman, the light of Torah, the light of godliness, the light of God is one. They made people realize we're not here merely as busters my whole life to fulfill physical pleasures. Is that why I'm here? To eat a good steak? To enjoy physical pleasures in life, to be a physical being who satiates myself physically with all kinds of pleasures only for the purpose of basar? Or am I a nefesh who is connected to the Almighty? And if I'm basar, then I cut off ties to my parents because I'm no different than the cheetah in the field. But if I'm a nefesh, then the connection to parents remains forever. But after Avram, when Avram's teachings, we already quoted Bereishis 12:5 with Rashi, made mankind realize that man possesses a nefesh, a soul. I'm not only a basar, I'm not only a goof. Then children remain spiritually united with the generations of the past. Because when people are conscious of their identity of nefesh, then the tie between them transcends the biological. And there's a community of ideas, loyalty, ideals, and faith. Permanent bonds of the soul, the heart, and the mind. And therefore we are told about Avram and Yitzchak by the Akedah, Bereishis 22. Vayechu shneham yachtov. The two of them went together. And Yaakov says, Vishavti b'shalom el beis avi. For time may corrode basar, flesh, while the nefesh, the soul, remains supremely unaffected by the passing of years. He acts as poetic. It's absolutely beautiful. Of course, this relates very much to our sefer and our learning. If we view ourselves purely as basar, and we will cut off our ties to our father and our mother, Avinu Shebashamayim, the Shechina is the female manifestation, so to speak. There is the male, it's hard to say, the Zachar aspect of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and the female aspect, so to speak. If man conceives himself purely as flesh, and I have no ties to God, I was put here for no purpose, only to fulfill no higher purpose or higher calling. I was put here only to fulfill physical pleasure, whatever brings you physical pleasure. I can do whatever I want, eat whatever I want, walk however I want, dress however I want, listen to whatever I want, go wherever I want, be with whoever I want, because I'm here to fulfill the pleasures of basar, and then I'm like putting a faucet in the desert. Of course, there's no water coming out. You can't put a faucet in the desert. Can't go to Lowe's and buy a faucet, Moen faucet. Am I pronouncing Moen right? M-O-E-N. And put it in the desert and think water's going to come out. Water's not going to come out. So if I'm basar, my whole existence here is basar. Ki afar ata, thou afar tashuv. And I'm nothing. But if I'm a nefesh, if I'm a neshama, then I will never leave my heavenly father and my heavenly mother, the Shechina. I'm always connected. The question that confronts us, going back to Rabbi Lam, in this tender and moving hour, what standard shall we in our modern age maintain? And this is 1963. And the world has changed so much, and not necessarily for the better. We live in a time when enticements abound. Could you imagine what we should say today? We live in a time when enticements abound. They urge us to slide effortlessly into easy assimilation. Are we basar or are we nefesh? It is not that we Jews disdain material comforts. We believe in enjoying God's bounty. We're mekadesh Shabbos over wine. Wine is good when it's used appropriately. We're mafrish challah and we enjoy the challah. Ein simcha ela b'basar v'yayin. We eat basar. We enjoy basar. We take physicality. We take an esrog. What's an esrog? An esrog is a fruit. It's nothing. It's a fruit. If I took it today, it has no worth. I can't make a bracha. It's a bracha of a tala. I take something physical and I make it kedusha. Rabbi Lam says, we do not denigrate, we do not reject, we do not disdain material comforts. We enjoy God's bounty. But what is the question? It's a question of emphasis. It's a question of whether man today has some spiritual aspect to his personality or none at all. Are we nefesh or basar? How do we self-identify? Are we flesh and bones only? Or are we also heart and soul? In a society where nefesh is supreme, soul, age is honored, and we will never leave the past generation, not the father or mother, not the tradition of the grandparents, not the stories of our great-grandparents, for the soul's wisdom and accumulated experience increases with years. But in a society where basar is dominant, where material values are treated with the greatest reverence, their preeminence is given to the youth. The elderly are ignored, for basar simply disintegrates with age and they have nothing to offer us, people with basar. And the choice of basar nefesh standards has to do with how we relate not only to our parents. For those of you who this is relevant, listen carefully. For those of you, Be'ezor Hashem, who will soon be relevant, listen carefully. But this choice of basar and nefesh, and what is our emphasis, also relates to the relationship between parents to children, not only children to parents, but parents to children. If we desire to keep our children, to live through them, then the emphasis in one's home and life must be nefesh. If we impress them only with ambitions of basar, success, career, wealth, social standings, if we ignore the demands of the spirit of Torah, then we will lose their loyalty later in life. And with the passage of time, father and son and mother and daughter drift apart. But if the child is aware from early youth that career and material comforts are important, but the most significant function of man's destiny is his nefesh. And here he quotes, to bring the shir full circle, the next three words are, Torah, God, Israel. Oraisa, Dishabrichu, Yisrael Chadhu. When parents and children will walk together, as did Avram and Yitzchak, Ayelchu Shneam Yachtav, only if we see ourselves not as mere basar, but as a person who utilizes the basar to serve the tafkid of the nefesh. After 120 years, leaving insurance and an estate will help their children, but leaving the assurance that there is meaning in life will hold our children for the rest of their days, because styles change, interests change, social patterns vary, but authentic Torah Judaism remains a constant. We must emphasize religious and spiritual dimension over material and social. Shabbos, studying the Sidra, not only discussing material business problems, Kiddush and Havdalah, rather than style or socializing. And if not, we will find ourselves facing Al Kein Ya'azov Ish et Aviv et Imo, V'hayu Labasar. One more paragraph short. No wonder if the Basar remains a standard, and father and son have nothing to talk about. And mother and daughter have little in common. And all humans, sofo la'afar, their end is dirt. And then if you live a basar life, you live a life with nothing accomplished. And here he quotes from Koheles, which we just read. Umotar ha'adam min ha'behema ayin. What's the difference, says Koheles, between man and beast? And the truth is, if we live a basar-oriented life, there is no difference between man and beast. Ki akol hevel. And everything is nothingness. Everything is futility of futilities. If there is nothing, if there's no nefesh, then all is vanity and life is not worth the struggle. But if we are a nefesh, if we are aware of our nefesh, we can redeem ourselves and our children to eternal life. It raises us above the level of a beast. It raises us to be worthy of being remembered by God. And he ends by quoting a famous pasuk from Malachi. By the way, I did not read you the whole essay. I skipped. If you would see my book, I have red pen over the parts I wanted to tell you. V'heishiv leiv avos al banim, v'leiv banim al avosam. In the end of days, Hashem will cause the hearts of the father to return to the son, and the hearts of the sons to return to their father. So when the Torah tells us, al kein yazov ish et aviv et imo v'davach b'ishto v'ayilu basar achar. Yes, if you view yourself as basar, destiny is that we will cut off ties with the past generation. But if you want to continue the glorious Mesorah started by Avraham Avinu, ha-nefesh asher asu b'charon, then we view ourselves not merely as pieces of meat. I mean it to sound crass purposely, but as elevated human beings whose nefesh is tied not only to the past, not only to our forefathers, but ultimately to the Ribbono Shel and Torah, because k'di shebrichu, o raisa Yisrael chadhu. Leiv Avos. Why did you write Leiv Avos? What does that mean? I thank you so much for learning with me. May the neshama of Miriam Fuel, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzhak, Allah HaHasham, merit an eternal aliyah. Her children are certainly most connected to the Mesorah and legacy she passed on to them. And I wish you a meaningful and wonderful and exciting and healthy Parshas Bereishis. Thank you so much, everyone.